Don't you just love the behind the scenes when a multi-millionaire tells you all the secrets? The good, the bad, the ugly. Well, you're about to step into the mind of the amazing Dean Holland in this episode of The Happy Million Show, where Dean shared his remarkable stories of success, entrepreneurial breakthroughs, the hurdles he's faced, and the lessons he learned along the way. This episode is absolutely jam-packed with untold, and I truly do mean that, untold stories about personal and professional growth. You surely do not want to miss this. Stay tuned. Let's go.
Welcome to the show that's redefining success for high achievers globally. This is where you come to hear from high achievers who are making bank, making love, making memories, and who are truly happy. And here's your host, Liz Benny.
Yunamis Kabao, everyone here. My gosh, I have got the beautiful, the incredible, the amazing Mr. Dean Holland in the house today. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing amazing. How can I not be with energy like yours, hey?
Wow, I am so excited. I was actually doing some really cool voice things on a podcast where I was being interviewed the other day, and they were like, Liz, you've got this arsenal of noises that you make. And I was like, wow, dude, that's not all the noises I can make. Anyway, today on the podcast, dude, I'm so happy to have you here. I really, really am. I've been hanging out for this one. What are you up to in business at the moment? I know this is kind of a loaded question. Give everyone the lowdown on what Dean Holland is up to.
Oh, goodness. So, yeah, plenty of stuff. So I've had a kind of a 10 plus year background in digital products and affiliate marketing and selling my own products, courses, coaching, things like that. But I suppose, and I still do all of that, and that's amazing. But probably one of our latest things as well is my wife and I started a cosmetics company online. So, and that's been going amazingly well. That's only currently in the UK. So we're very local as such. But yeah, so many exciting things going on. So we're kind of doing all of that, from coaching to consulting to digital products to cosmetic physical stuff to books. Oh my gosh, where does the story end?
Oh my gosh, look, I love this. And a lot of people who are watching you right now will be seeing your eyes getting big and bold. And like, for those of you listening right now, you'll kind of hear it in Dean's voice as well. So how are you managing all of this without blowing up your marriage, without blowing up your mental health in this time of COVID and all that? Yeah.
Yeah, no, good question. I think really the simple answer is thanks to other people. I think if it was how things used to be a few years ago, I wouldn't be managing, to be honest. And in some respects, I suppose I am breaking all the rules by having so many things going on. You know, I can't sit here and say, oh, it's easy running two businesses. It's not. It's a freaking nightmare in some respects. But I think with other people, with structure, it's quite interesting running a business with my wife. I think that's something to adapt to and adjust to, especially because we're both clash in some ways. We're very different yet very similar. So that's been quite a learning experience. Like I say, that's been over the last 5 years. So I think she's actually in the office the other side of there. So I'm getting some funny looks right now. So so I'll be careful what I say. but yeah, I think ultimately in terms of like, how do we manage and deal with all this craziness that's going on? It's ultimately having to grow with other people. And, you know, I don't know how much you want me to go into that, but that in and of itself, I don't find that easy, because I've always been quite a self-reliant person, you know, from many, many years ago. It was like, I had no choice but to figure everything out on my own. You know, I didn't come from money or anything like that. So it was always hands-on. I learned all the how to do the websites, build funnels. I learned all of that myself. And so this is quite a new part of the journey, I think, is like finding good people and trusting them, how to operate a team. It's all pretty relatively new, despite the fact I've been in the business a long time. So much of this is brand new to me. And I can't sit here and say I've got it all figured out and we've got this perfectly streamlined thing and everything's growing amazingly, because we're learning. We're literally in the trenches every day, I think.
Oh, dude. Firstly, I want to say thank you so much for being raw, real, and honest. This show is about being raw, real, and honest. There are people here who haven't made their first million and are aspiring to make their first million. There are people here who are miserable millionaires who are like, holy crap, I've got all the money in the world, but I'm still miserable. There have been times in your career and over the last couple of years where you've hit rock bottom and you've been honest in social media to a degree about the stuff that has gone on. Like,
I would say that you and your wife have been through such a huge gauntlet, and for you to be solid together and, you know, now as a couple operating a business, you've overcome such incredible probabilities, I would say, right? Mm. You are massively abnormal, but you probably feel just like, I'm just Dean and I'm just doing my thing. But how have you overcome all of this? What would be your secrets?
Yeah, no, good question. It's funny you mention about sort of being raw and real. I don't know if you'll recall this, but back in 2018, I was invited to speak at Funnel Hacking Live, and my presentation was called How to Be Rich and Miserable. Mm-hmm. And I kind of did it the opposite way as normal people would do. I was like, here's how to do it if you want to be completely miserable. Mm-hmm. Because I have been there, you know, in many respects. I think it would be fair to say that my business revenue wise is lower than it used to be, but I'm happier than I used to be as well. Oh. You know, at the peak performance of my business turnover revenue wise was the peak of my miserableness. Is that a word? Miserableness?
It doesn't
misery
matter.
Misery, there we go, the peak of my misery. So
it's been
a very
English. I mean, you can make up whatever you want. We speak in England.
Yeah I think we do that anyway, don't we? I mean, no one else talks England-ish. So yeah, you're absolutely right in that it's been a very much a roller coaster, and I think there's multiple elements to that. There's the pressure and stressors within the business, but then I think there's another component that a lot of people, well, maybe they talk about it more on your show here, because there's a lot of that sentiment in the content, but generally out there online, I don't see that so many people, a lot of people are willing to talk about the struggles of being in of business, but I don't think there's so many people that are willing to necessarily be so vulnerable about their personal life. Yeah. And some of my experiences over the last 5 years or 3 years that have been horrific in my personal life, I've seen the direct connection between your personal life and your business. And it's been a real eye opener for me in that, you know, like some people say, oh, you know, business is separate to life. And I don't believe in that at all. Maybe at one point I did, and I thought, oh, I could manage it. You know, what I do outside of the office or when I walk away is a totally different thing to when I'm in the office. They're two separate entities, but they're just not. They're so intertwined. And I discovered this through, like I say, over the last 3 years, just having some really horrendous experiences with my immediate family, my mum, my dad. It all occurred due to an occurrence that happened around my wedding, and it completely broke my heart and soul, and I nearly lost everything in my business because of that. And so I kind of realize now that, you know, you can focus on the money and you think, oh, I'm going to be happy, but no amount of money will solve anything other than what that money can solve. You know, if I can't afford to pay my bills and keep a roof over my head, I've got a lot of stress going on around that. Mm. But once certain needs are taken care of, it's just become so evident to me over the last few years that there's so much more to this whole thing we call life than being an entrepreneur and being in business and having the biggest, most successful thing. Like, I love my business. Like you say, my eyes open up because I love what I do. I love it. Like, but I couldn't love it when I didn't love my life or myself, you know? So no amount of passion for what I do in business and the people I work with could help if my personal life was falling apart. Does that make sense?
Gosh, yes, 100%. And Christy, my wife and I were just talking about this yesterday, because we've been through a massive change over the last just 2 months alone, because stuff had to change in our life. And, right. You know, we'd hit another obstacle. And I think people sometimes think that life is just going to be fine once you find that secret. And it was a loaded question before when I said, you know, what's the secret? Because there is no secret. We're all different,
right?
In how we get to our own promised land. And Christy and I were out on date night last night, and we were talking about the three alignments, you know, alignment with yourself, alignment with your spouse or significant other, then alignment with your business. But if you're out of alignment with those first two, specifically the first one, the business doesn't work. And you can make money whilst being out of alignment, but it's miserable money, in my opinion. Would you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%. And I think I sometimes have this internal conflict, to be honest, because I still very much, and maybe I need help in this area, probably do, but like, I still very much feel like the same guy from 10 years ago when I was broke and in a day job and just like my whole focus was on how do I make more money, you know, and that's all I strived for such a long time. And I couldn't do it for such a long time. And I think, you know, perhaps to anybody that's listening, says, like you say, there's people listening of all different stages. And I suppose this type of conversation might not be understandable to somebody that's yet not got to that point. Because I think this is one of those conversations you hear, that you hear people that have money say this sort of stuff all the time. And I'll be honest, before I had money, I used to hear this type of conversation and think, what do you guys know about my pain? Like, you don't know what it's like to be me. You've got money. Of course, you're going to say money's not everything. Well, and to me, it was like, money is everything because I don't have any. But I look back at that viewpoint, to be honest, and I can see where it comes from. Of course, that's probably your biggest pain point, for at least it was for me. That was my biggest pain. So of course it got my attention, and that became my priority. But I can safely say that it really isn't anything like I thought it would be. You know, like, and I can honestly say, like, I don't have a Lamborghini or Ferrari. I could, I'm not bothered. You know, I have a nice house. I've set up a nice life. I have nice businesses that I enjoy. And, you know, I'm married now and my life's in a different place. And I realize that my goals typically are lower than what a lot of my clients or students come to me with, you know, and in some ways I'm trying to always tell people, like, you do know you don't need that much money, right? Like, I know you haven't had it yet to have that experience, but you know, a lot of people say, I want 10 grand a month, 20 grand a month, 50 grand a month, 100 grand a month, whatever. And I'm like, I live on less than 7,000 a month. Like, I literally do everything I want on less than 7K a month.
Dude, I am loving this conversation right now because, like, I help people make a lot of money.
Right.
And I've actually dealt with that very same thing. I'm like, wow, like, my students' goals are bigger than mine. And like, I'll help them and I can show them the pathway and all that sort of stuff. But I've been there and I've done it too. And I literally live on, I still get paid from the business exactly what I was paid 7 years ago.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
$700 a week just goes into my account. That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
And I spend so little. I'm actually really, really, really frugal. I'm not a tight ass,
right,
but I'm just like money shmoney. Like, I get my eyebrows done and I live this beautiful money shmoney life because I've actually lived that same experience that you have of going, wow, like, more money is not going to change my circumstances. And Christy and I, again, were talking about this yesterday. I love your perspective on this. It doesn't matter what degree your house is gorgeous. You can have a mansion and be miserable if you're miserable within yourself and in your marriage. Or you can have a tiny little house and be the happiest, most gleeful person in the world if you're in alignment with yourself and your marriage. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'll tell you quite a funny little story, something that happened just recently. So I normally drive a pretty nice car, like a Range Rover Sport, you know, something I always wanted from years ago. I was like, when I can get one, I'm going to get one. And so I had one. I don't buy them. I just like lease them for like 3 years and then send it back and get a new one. It's just this nice little setup I've had. Now, because of the COVID situation, there's been like a 1 year back order on these cars. And I'm like, oh. So they came, so I gave my car back and now I had no vehicle. So this is a few months ago. Now my wife just got a new car and she's got a little small mini Cooper, like a little tiny, it's like a little go-kart thing. And I was like, well, I haven't got a car. I'm just going to drive this old little thing that should probably go for scrap, but I'm just going to drive around with it. And I had one of the most freeing moments in years, just a few months ago. I was driving down the street, like, the car's not going to get any attention. It's not like, oh, that's such a beautiful car, people are looking at it or any of that. And I'm just driving. And for the first time in a long time, I felt completely free. And I don't know why. I went back home to my wife. I was like, I just had the most freeing moment driving this car for the last 30 minutes. It was just like, I had no cares in the world. I didn't have to think about, oh, where do I park this car so no one scratches it or does anything to it or it gets banged by another car. It was just like, I have no cares right now. But for that brief moment, it was like, there was nothing I had to worry about at all. And that might sound silly because it's just a car, but it was just a strange experience. And it was like the cheapest thing I've driven in a long time. It was just so freeing though. I can't explain it more than that. It just was this magical moment. It was so strange.
I adore that, my friend. Like, this is such a raw, real and honest conversation. And I hope that those of you listening and watching right now are just really and truly getting the essence of truth and love and energy and internal like desires here, because I mean, I really have lived this this thing of like money shmoney. Like once my house was paid off, once all my basic needs were met, it actually put me into kind of a turmoil. And I've actually spoken with a couple of people about this, a couple of people that we know from the arenas that we've both mixed in. And people have gone like, when I had all my basic needs met for a long time, it actually made my brain go, I don't know. Wow. And it shifts your focus. And then you really do need to focus on doing things that elevate your level of happiness. And that's what I'm really helping people do right now. What's your take on that?
Yeah, no, I think you and I, we've had conversations in the past, haven't we? And I think you and I have definitely had some very similar experiences in our journeys. I can honestly say that I've gone through some quite dark times around this sort of subject. Numerous times as well, and I think the best way that I could probably summarize it is there's been various points, like you say, like you strive so hard to get the results, then those results come eventually, and it's like, wow, this is exciting and new, and you have all these aspirations and this drive to be like, I want the biggest business ever, I want to grow it as big and bad and as fast and furious as I possibly can,
because you think you should.
Yes, exactly. And this is what I'm kind of getting to, is I think that at various points, when I look back now and I can see it clearer, I lost a sense of purpose, meaning that when I kept getting to the places that I'd strive to reach, it didn't feel like I thought it was going to feel. I didn't come to a conclusion. I didn't reach a finish line. You know, it's like I think about my goals sometimes as like a finishing line. It's like I can see it in the distance. I know I'm on the right track and I'm just going to work hard and put in the time, put in the energy. And then I kept arriving at them. And it was almost like, oh, every time I arrived, I'd look up and the goalposts weren't there anymore. They were somewhere else. And it got to the point where I was like, well, but where am I working towards? What is this for? Like what? And it became, and I think you perfectly just hit the nail on the head. You're doing it now because you think you should, because that's what everyone else is. Like you're in certain communities, you're at certain events, and it's like cheering for the big businesses, you know, the people that have done the biggest results are on the stages, and you're like, oh, well, that's the version of success then. That, like, I haven't made it yet because I haven't been asked to go and do that. Like, they haven't invited me to this situation. So maybe I'm just perhaps done it wrong. I'm not good enough yet. I haven't made enough noise. I haven't got enough attention on myself. Perhaps my results just are really substandard. And I'm sitting there thinking like, and this is in the past, I'm sitting there thinking, wow, I used to make $2,500 a month. I'm making $100,000 a week, and I don't feel good enough. I don't feel good enough to be around the people I'm in the room with. I can't deserve to be here because nobody seems to be recognizing. And I think, oh, I thought when I was here I'd get recognition, and I've got some recognition, and I'm not. And it's just this weird scenario where I'm like, what am I craving here? What am I seeking out of doing? Like, and who am I? Who am I now doing this for? And I think in a way I could loop this back to the car situation. Like, who am I driving this car for? Like, is it for the pictures on Facebook? Is it for the pictures on Instagram? Is it because I want people to think like, oh, that's the symbol of success. Dean must be doing well. And it's just been this like strange thing. I think, I don't know, some people describe what I'm feeling now as like, oh, you're having a bit of a spiritual turn in your life. You're finding spirituality. You're realizing there's more to all of this. And it's just been sorry, I don't know if I'm kind of like over talking and just keep going
this
down
rabbit
hole. This is
brilliant. This is gold. This is, you are speaking my last 5 years of transition and growth as well. This is gold. Keep going.
Well, like, and then I think then it starts, and this is what would happen with me then, is then now a real problem arises internally. Because if it's not about growing and making more money, if it's not about making more money, I shouldn't say growing. If it's not about making more money, then what is it about? And I went through this huge conflict then because, wow, if the last 10 years of my life haven't actually been what mattered, then who am I now? Like, because I ended up in this real conflict where it was like, what I thought was important isn't important. What I thought I had to be isn't who I want to be or am. What I'm striving to do isn't really for me. And I'm clear on that now. I don't know what it is, but it's not for me. So what the hell's going on? You know, like, and I did. There was a few years, like 5 years ago was probably my first, 5-6 years ago was my first real moment where it was like, I didn't want to work anymore. I don't want to sit at the computer anymore. I'm making more money than I ever have, but I don't care. I don't want it anymore. And I just wake up, go from my bed to the sofa where I just lay until, you know, weeks and weeks would go by. And my wife's like, wow, this little slump you're in is going on a little longer than it used to, you know, because I have these up and downs all the time in life. I'm sure we all do. It's like, oh, I'll go through, something will go wrong and I'll have a couple of days where I'm like down in the dumps, but then I pick myself up. But this time I wasn't picking myself up. I didn't want to. I didn't care. And that was quite a hard experience to go through, because I think in a way you then have to redefine what success is, and you have to almost discover yourself again. Like, what do I want to keep doing this for? Because I know this is kind of weird on a business entrepreneurial type podcast, but there were times that I even thought I might get a job. Because like, if the money that I'm striving for isn't important to me anymore, and it's so much hard work, so much stress, if my life can be fulfilled with a few thousand a month, why would I be doing any of this? And it started making me into that zone. Like, why would I put myself through this? Why? Yeah. When the money that I need to live my life and that I'm actually content with isn't necessary to have a business, why would I put myself through it? And that was just then like, oh my gosh, like, hang on. My identity is that as I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a business owner. And I've felt that way since I was a kid. And now I'm in my 30s and I don't feel like any of it's true anymore. Who the hell am I? You know, and that's where I ended up. Like, who am I? What do I want? Are the thoughts I'm having even my own? Like, do I feel the way I feel because I feel this way? Or it's because I've been led to feel like the information and the messages I've consumed and the people I've surrounded myself with, do I feel this way because that's how they feel? And I've just took that on. And it just like this huge mess now. It's just like, I don't even know anything. I don't know what I want, who I am, why I'm doing it, if I want to do it. And it's just like, a mess in some respects.
I love this. Because you're speaking the truth. And I think I'm so over all of the BS on social media, the Lamborghini pictures, the rented Lamborghini pictures. I mean, I've built my reputation on raw, real, and honest. And there have been times when I haven't wanted to be out in the world because I haven't even known, like, what do I want? So I went quiet for a couple of years whilst going through this exact same thing of like, who am I? What do I want? Why am I even thinking this way? Do I even want this? Do I want a job? What am I? So everything that you have actually just spoken about, will, I just want to say thank you to you, because there is at least 50 people who have just heard that right now and gone, wow, thank you, Dean. You have this business. You have this, like, you're on the other side. I'm going through the thick of shit right now. Thank you so much. So thank you for that. What was like, you're living this life now, you've had this, I guess, yes, spiritual awakening, you've got a beautiful connection with your wife, you've got these two businesses that are running and are fulfilling you in some way, shape or form, or else, you know, you'd cut one of them off. How did you get to the sense of purpose, the sense of oneness, the sense of stillness, the sense of okayness that allows you to continue in your business right now, thrive, not just kind of get along? I mean, I think you've done some incredible therapy. You've done some incredible work on yourself, but what support systems did you use to get through that funk?
Yeah, great question. So I think one of the, I'll never forget. So I went through about three or four years ago, I went through 6 months of therapy and counseling to deal with the way I was feeling around things. And, you know, so far, maybe like 3 or 4 months. And so this was every week with a therapist. And she asked me this one question once after, you know, getting to know me for months. And she just turned around, such a simple question. And it just stopped me dead in my tracks. And she went, what do you do for you? And I just was like, nothing. Everything's for me, isn't it? And it was like, as I started to think about it, you know, and I traced back, like, you know, and even asked her, like, do you mind me asking what brought that question up? Like, why would you say it in that way? And she would explain, she would repeat back to me all the things that she'd noted. And it was, you know, I work hard because I don't want to let my team down. And I worry that they've got families and children that they're taking care of. So that's why I will come into the office at 8 o'clock in the morning now before they're here. And I'm here an hour after they leave, because I want them to see that I'm working hard for them. Like, okay, you know, I want to make my wife proud. So I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that she never has to worry about the things that we worried about 10 years ago. You know, and I want to do this because of that and this. And, you know, and it was like, ultimately got to this point where there was really nothing in my life that I could directly attribute to, like, I'm doing this because it fulfills me, because I'm happy and I'm this. And that really began, like, that single question really began a turning point where I realized I'd attached so much of who I am to, I am in business. You know, like, the life I'm living is to run my business. You know, I'm doing everything every day to run my business, to do all these good things and to take care of these people and make sure everyone's okay. And I had to turn things around, and I started to ask myself, what do I want? You know, what do I want out of my life? What do I want to do with my days? What experiences do I want to have with my wife? You know, and I started to more so forget about the money, forget about, well, how much money do I want to make? Because that's the question I used to ask, like, how much money do I want to make? How big do I want to grow? Now, where do I want to take this? And I turned it, forget all about the money, and instead focused on the life that I wanted to create. And I did, and I worked it all backwards, and starting off with the life that I wanted to create, I was then able to work backwards and take it to a point where I could figure out, like, well, how much is it going to require to live this life? You know, and it was a totally different reversal for me, because it used to be just like, how much do I want to make? That's all I care about. Money, money, money. How much money do I want in the bank? So then just like, what life do I want? Then how much do I need to live that way? Mm-hmm. And I think that would be like one of my biggest pieces of advice for anybody, especially if you're starting out, is to realize that the money, your thing of being in business, aside from like giving value to others and making the world a better place and all that sort of stuff, yes, that's a given. Can't take away from that. But ultimately, the reason you would start a business is because you want to create a certain life for yourself and a certain lifestyle that you're perhaps not able to gain from having a day job. You know, that's the only reason really to put yourself through this, because it's much harder than working for somebody else. Mm-hmm. So the only reason surely is that there's something that you're trying to accomplish or create, or a lifestyle that you're trying to live. But somehow along the way, looking back, I realized that through the hard work and the commitment, the struggles, the pains, the challenges that you encounter, I do think that, at least for me, and I don't think I'm alone in this, I think you lose that perspective that you started with. You started because you wanted something out of your life. You go through the pain, and somehow it becomes like, I'm not getting the result, so the result is my sole and only focus. And you lose sight of that. And then when the result comes, unfortunately for me, it took so long to get that result that the drive for the result became my only sole focus, even when that result arrived, because now the result's not big enough. Now I need a bigger result and a bigger result and a bigger result. And that's where I come back to what we said earlier about the goalposts. The goalposts never stay still. You get there, you look up, oh, they're no longer there anymore. They're over there. And you're like, oh, okay, keep going. I know how to do that. Keep running. And then you arrive and you're like, oh, no, it's not. It's over there. Okay, keep running. And then that for me now is like my biggest piece of advice to anyone is like, it's not about the money. It's about what the money can provide. And if you are not clear on what you want to accomplish by having the money and the lifestyle that having your business can provide, I feel that you are going to end up in a bad place eventually at some point, because you're going to reach that goalpost that you originally set. You're going to look up and realize that it doesn't have that fulfillment, because actually it wasn't the result that you strived for in the first place. It was something different. It's just along the way, you lose sight of what you were doing it for. And that can be quite a moment. And I think that's certainly what I can say that I've experienced, is that moment where I forgot what I was in it for. And now I've got so far away from what I was in it for that I can't even remember back where it began. Does that make sense, or is that a bit weird?
It's not weird, and it makes sense. It's beautiful. And I wish that, I honestly wish that this level of honesty was rife on the internet, because right. I think that people are really creating businesses on very shaky foundations.
Right.
And I mean, I'm certainly not one to get biblical in any way, shape or form, but they do talk about building houses on sand versus, you know, the rock. And I think when you have that level of personal integrity and level of understanding around who you are and what you want, radically, honestly, then things are so much better than chasing this dream that you think you should. And I've run after the dream that I thought that I should as well, because Liz Binney, the Queen of Kapow, the, you know, the ClickFunnels poster girl, and I'm still on the front page of ClickFunnels to this day. And, you know, that comes with this, you know, for me, that came with this level of, oh my gosh, like I can't post this thing, or that might let that person down, or that person. I was for a good period of years living this life of shoulds or should nots that were not in alignment with me. And once I started to step into just being unapologetically me, that's when I started to show up in a different way. And have the sense of like, holy crap, I don't give a shit what everyone thinks of me, because it matters to me what I think of me. And there are a rare few people around me whose opinions of me count to me. Beyond that, okay, like it doesn't matter. So I think, you know, I had a circumstance, and I would love to talk about, you know, some shaky times that you've had. I'm going to give you a quick pre-frame here. I actually left a mastermind 2 days ago. And I knew my gut was telling me, my heart was telling me, my time was up there, because it wasn't serving me in the way that I needed that mastermind to serve me anymore. I've changed over the last 6 months, and I was like, nope, this is not for me anymore. I respect my time, and I feel down when I go on this call instead of up. That was just a simple gauge of, is this a drainer or a driver? And it had become a drainer. And I exited that mastermind. When I said I was leaving, I copped some abuse. I copped it right in the face. Like, how dare you? Da, 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 da. And then in those moments, I recognized that if I had been old Liz Binney from 3 years ago, that would have been a traumatic experience for me. I would have questioned myself, and I should and did I make the right decision? So my question to you around that, with that quick pre-frame, is, have you looked back and gone, wow, I was making some shonky decisions back then? And with that, are you then able to look forward and go, what will the future Dean, how will the future Dean make decisions?
Yeah, no, it's a really interesting question. I'm perhaps not quite so young now, but when I got into this, I was pretty young, you know, like in my very early 20s.
You're only 25, aren't you, my friend?
Oh, 24.
Oh, 24. Sorry.
No. How old am I now? I'm 37 now.
Wow, dude.
Yeah, I'm aging. Maybe gracefully.
I'm 41,
or not,
but... so we're both around that same. Well, at least
you
we
look
are
younger
young
than me.
Spirit.
So that's not fair now.
Sorry, say that again.
You look younger than me, so that's not fair. You're showing off now.
Well, it's just that Zoom filter. You should see what I really look like.
but now, in terms of with your question, like about, you know, perhaps the decisions and how that changes, I think the thing is nothing's really static. So as much as like the environment within the business changes, you as an individual are changing as well. So I think there's got to be an acceptance of a shift. It's funny, I've been talking to a family member about this recently, because they keep saying to me, like, you know, you've changed so much. You know, you've changed so much, and, you know, it's so surprising to us. You know, you used to be, you know, they'll say things like, you know, you used to say you wanted a Lamborghini and you wanted all this stuff, and now you're, you know, it's like you're driving around in a Mini. Are you okay? Is everything gone wrong? Are you all right? And I was having this conversation. That's why it comes to mind. It's like, yeah, I have changed, and I don't think as much as a lot of people attach a negativity to change, I don't think it necessarily always is, or if ever. You know, and I think, you know, everything that you're experiencing every day, every year, every week, every month, it will impact you and change you in some way. You know, some of those ways are good. Some of those ways are bad. You know, some of the things you have to deal with, otherwise they can manifest into even worse things. And so I think there's this strange environment where so many people don't realize that and acknowledge it and accept that, like, I am changing as a human, like, all the time, because, like, we're talking about here, what used to matter doesn't matter, you know. And I'm sure maybe if we were to talk in another year's time, maybe I'll be like, oh yeah, I ended up buying that Lamborghini after we spoke last time, you know, and I bought this big mansion and I love it and my life's incredible. Maybe I'll be different, but I'm not looking. Funny you say about looking ahead. I don't actually look too far ahead anymore. I would say that's one of my biggest changes. Like, you know, we're all living in a bit of a weird world right now anyway, depending on where people are living, it might be more severe. Like, nobody could have predicted this. So as much as like before I used to think, oh, you listen to these productivity experts, they're telling you like, oh, you got to plan out your year and then your quarter and then your week. And I'm like, gosh, if I can think 6 months ahead and be accurate, that would be pretty amazing. Mm. You know? And so in terms of like decisions, I think I don't make, I take my time a bit more than I used to, you know, is one thing, you know, and some people would say that's bad, you know, cause I'm not like reacting so quickly and moving so fast. But I would say like my biggest thing in terms of how I differ compared to the past in making decisions and things is that I just try and enjoy the process so much more now. And that, I think that makes me a bit more laid back and relaxed. And I don't really have to rush into a decision. It's like, everything's good. You know, it could be better. It could be worse. You know, everything's good, you know? And so it's like, I just try and remain as stress-free as I possibly can, because why not? You know, like, you can get so worked up and so stressed about and so anxious. You know, I suffer with anxiety now, like proper medical anxiety, like weird things freak me out. I have to check the door 3 times. It's like OCD anxiety. Like, oh gosh, did I lock the door? You know, I've got these weird symptoms of some of the stuff that I've gone through. And I suppose all of that is just molding me to be like, there are very few things that we stress about that actually matter. There are very few decisions that are going to bring you to your knees that are like so important that you got to stress over it and worry about it. And it's just like, I just feel that I'm in this place now where just like, I realize there's, like I say, it's very few things that matter. You know, making money matters until you get told that you've got 6 weeks to live, you know, or, you know, all these different kind of things that you can choose to stress about, or decisions you can procrastinate on and worry about. And I think when all's said and done, you just got to have a certain level of belief in yourself and in what you're doing. And if you can have that belief, then stand behind yourself, you know, make that decision. That thing you're putting off, or that thing you're delaying, or you're stressing about or worrying about, if you're making an informed decision that you believe in, it may be right or wrong, but why worry about it? Why stress? You know, believe in what you're doing, make that decision, move forwards. You know, that's kind of how I'm trying. I'm not saying I'm perfect in that. Of course, I still worry and have stressors, but that's what I'm trying to remind myself of constantly now, because like I say, things have come along in my life over the years now that I totally couldn't have expected. Like, I never, never, ever, I would have risked everything on things that have happened not happening. I'd have told you, no way, there's no way in hell that thing would ever happen in my life. Not to me. No, not by that, not by my parent. No, 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 they would never do that. And it's happened. And I think those sort of experiences made me realize that you can do everything right in life. You can make all the right decisions, be the most upstanding member of society, business owner, leader, entrepreneur, father, mother, sister, brother, whatever, and still be wrong, you know, and still something go wrong. And so why stress about these seemingly small things, you know? Because, like, I don't know, maybe I'm getting too spiritual now, but it's just this is how I feel now. This is how I'm thinking about everything. And I look back, you talk about past decisions, I look back and think about some of the times I've stressed so much. You know, 2 years ago, I was rushed into hospital with a suspected heart attack, you know, because I was so stressed about freaking content I was recording for a course, and I'd missed a deadline, and I'd promised my clients I was going to update it, and I missed the deadline, and I was so stressed. I broke down in tears in the office. I actually went on a Facebook Live the next day after I came out of hospital with my clients. I kind of bit embarrassed looking back on it, because I'm like, wow, they didn't really need to see me like that. But in the same time, just like you said, real. You know, I went on a Facebook Live just simply to say, I'm not going to be delivering this content for a few weeks. I know I've missed the deadline, but it's making me really unwell. And it was, I was so unwell. And it was all just stress and anxiety and worry over what? Like, I was just updating my course. It wasn't even anything new. It was just revamping a few bits. And I got myself so worked up about some of this stuff. that it just literally was making me crumble. And looking back on those things now, it almost seems so silly, you know, but I want to share this and talk about some of this stuff. I don't think I've really told anyone this sort of stuff or spoke about this, but like you say, you know, maybe there's somebody listening right now that was just in tears about the fact that they can't figure out how to get that thing live that they're doing, or that thing they need to update, or maybe something bad's going on. And, you know, I just look back and realize that everything was okay. You know, and all my clients were like, why? I can't believe you're stressing yourself. We know it'll come and it'll be amazing. And in my head, it's like, I'm going to lose everything. Everyone's going to hate me. And it just spirals into these crazy, crazy thoughts over really what is something that just doesn't matter. You know, and I suppose that's where I'm kind of coming from at a place at the moment. It's like, wow, there's been some hellish things that have gone on, but boy, did I escalate them in my own mind.
Wow. The radical honesty here is just so, thank you. Thank you again. Like I will continue to thank you for years to come, because I believe that this is going to be a podcast episode that when entrepreneurs and business owners listen to it, they will find such truth within themselves and go, oh, wow. Like I have the power to change this. If I step back and if I'm radically honest with myself and really look at, you know, how I'm doing life and how I'm being in life, is this what I genuinely want? And you're showing people that there is light. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I got a question for you. There are many entrepreneurs who are listening and watching this right now, business owners, entrepreneurs who are in a relationship, a partnership, a business partnership with their spouse. And you mentioned before that you've had some clash moments. What are some tools and some systems that you've put in place to make sure that when you go home, you can still cuddle up on the couch or make love at nighttime and, or whenever you want, doesn't have to be just at nighttime, but you still have that level of connection with wifey so that your business is not getting in the way of your relationship?
Good question. And still something we're figuring out in some respects, you know, we're still having to, you know, switch things up a little bit in a sense of like, do you think we only talk about business now? Like we ended up like business partners, not husband and wife. Like, is that what's kind of happening here? You know, and we notice it at certain points and we're like, okay, stop, let's address this. Let's do that. And I think that would be what one of the things that I would say is just like, you got to be able to talk, you know, and you got to be able to be honest. And I think, I'm certainly one of those people. I keep my, despite the fact I've been quite, you know, open and sharing things here, I would say that if you were to ask someone that really truly knows me, say like my wife, it would be that I'm not somebody that discusses my feelings. I'm quite a loner. I'm quite happy in my own company, and you know, and so I can, you know, keep myself to myself and not really talk about my feelings and emotions and things that I go through. And I think one of the greatest lessons has been that if you are to have a successful relationship and working relationship business, the communication is so key. You know, if things don't feel right or something's not happy, you've got to be able to talk about that rather than just like let it grow and build up to be something so much bigger. You know, the moment something's there, you know, you've got to be able to have that relationship where you can talk about it. But in terms of like some of the sort of actual things that we've had to put in place in terms of with the business and then in terms of our life, having clear roles, it sounds quite weird because it's kind of like you're taking the emotional relationship part out of the equation for the business purpose. But for us, that's what's worked in the sense of like having clearly defined roles within the business, much like, you know, I see myself as an employee of the business. The business is its own entity. I work for the business. My wife works for the business. And if we were employees, like we're viewing ourselves, we would have clearly defined roles and responsibilities. You know, yes, we've got to guide the company and lead it at the same time, but we have to have these clear roles. And I have to trust her. She has to trust me. We, you know, we have to be able to come together and discuss things at the right times, but we have to also have that trust that the other person's doing the right thing. I'm doing the right thing. We both share that common goal of where we're heading. And we just kind of keep it like that. Now, I would say we've been able to do that more successfully than we have been able to navigate our personal relationship. I think we've managed the business as a couple better than we've perhaps maintained a healthy relationship in that sense. So that's something that we are actively working on now. It's nice to hear something that you said a bit ago. You said yesterday you and Christy went on a date night. That's something that we've started. It's like every Friday now. We only literally, I'm talking like in the last 6 weeks. And then Christmas came along, of course. So we kind of had a break from date night as such, but we're starting again this week. So that's something. And making personal time. I think that's what I would say got lost, personal time. Because you're so engrossed and surrounded by what it is that you're doing, that it's almost like, what else is there to talk about? You know, we're not doing anything other than working. You know, it's like we're in the office, we wake up, we get ready, we come to the office, we work all day, we go home, we make dinner, we sit on the sofa, we're like, oh, I'm so tired, let's go to bed, we sleep. And you can easily, if you don't address it, you can easily fall into a cycle that is not healthy at all. And that's why I think, you know, we both recognize that that's where we've been for far too long. And neither of us want to be in that place. You know, we have so much love for each other. But if you're not careful, you can get to a place where it's like, wow, we are business partners. We started out as partners in life. Now we're business partners. Like, this has to be addressed. So that's been our big, and I can't sit here and say, oh yeah, I've got this figured out. You know, I look at some couples and I think, wow, you've got it figured out. I'm sure maybe they would say the same thing. No, we don't have it figured out at all. But it's an ongoing thing, that is. And I do feel, I feel like I don't yet have the answers. I mean, maybe you've got some tips that you could share. Maybe you're navigating this more successfully than what we are, because that's kind of where we're at the moment. It's like, okay, let's have a weekly date night that we stick to. You know, we've come up with a formula where it's like, 1 week I will make the plans and I will choose and it's a surprise for you, and then the next week, you know, we'll alternate, you do the same and it's a surprise for me. So that's kind of our first efforts, I guess I would say. That's where we're at right now in that sense.
I adore that. And yeah, I do have, I'll talk with you off air about some really cool things that have helped. And for those of you like, no, Liz, please tell us too. I just want to make sure that I'm not becoming a relationship counselor or relationship coach on this particular podcast. But
oh, I thought that's what we were doing here. I thought I came for a counseling session.
One thing I will say, to back you up and to just talk about the radical honesty. Because I know that there have been times in my relationship with Christy where she hasn't perhaps said all of what has actually been bothering her, and it has built up and built up and built up and built up and built up. And then all of a sudden it's bigger than it needed to be in the first place. And if it had been, you know, spoken about like 6 months prior, there wouldn't have been that issue. It would have been like, oh, cool, quick correction over here. That's fine. So I think, and I've done the exact same. I've like built up and I haven't potentially, you know, said, hey, look, I'm super overwhelmed and I need some support over here and da, 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 da. So we have just got this radical honesty policy in our relationship, like honesty first. And we've actually positioned our relationship such that, you know, it is the primary, well, after our relationship with ourselves, it is then the next primary relationship in our house. And then the relationship with the kids actually comes after that, because if her and I are not on, if we are disconnected, everything, the business is not okay, the kids' relationship with us, like it's all shonky. So sure. Relationship with self first, then relationship as a couple second, then things trickle down after that. That's something that always works. If ever we're out of alignment, if we're disconnected, we have to go, okay, we're disconnected. What's going on? What's getting in the way of us being able to be how we want to be in life? And then we actually step back at the business, back from the business, and go, look, the business is supposed to be serving us, period, to live the life that we genuinely want, not the other way around. So what's getting in the way of this right now? I'm like, oh, that relationship with that client. Okay, cool. Get rid of that client. It's okay. Go.
Yeah.
Because my policy or my big thing is we're dead soon. Like we've got very short lives. We're dead soon. I'm 41 and I'm very mindful that, you know, I'm probably going to live maybe another 50 years, maybe another 40 years. How do I want those next 40 years to actually feel? How do I want my life to feel? Do I want to play more? Do I want to be, what do I want to be known for?
Yes. No, it's great. Yeah. No, I think you are a relationship coach now. I've just qualified you.
Can I please have the certificate to make myself feel better? My ego. No, just kidding. So, dude, you have just, you know, when people say to you, you've changed, I wanted to say to you, yes, you have. Like, I see you as this person that, whilst you might have this anxiety stuff that's going on, which might be directly correlated to some PTSD from, like, you've been through a lot of trauma. So it makes sense that there's a higher level of anxiety. You're also this person who, you know, I just wanted to let you know that you seem more carefree. You seem to be looking for flow a lot more in life. Mm. And I just wanted to say to you, you're one of the most incredible, magical, most amazing people who I've had the pleasure of hanging out with, who I've had the pleasure of knowing. And I'm so excited for both you and your wife to continue to grow these both these amazing businesses. Do you want to let people know? I'd actually like to talk a little bit about your makeup business.
Sure.
You didn't have these big grand visions for it to be as successful as it is, right?
Yeah, no, not at all. It was... So we had our first last year, we had our first 7-figure year, which was year 3, I think, of the business, year 4. It all started. My wife had a day job, and she was in like a sales day job, and she was doing incredibly well in that job. But she had some bad experiences. And anyway, her employer let her down. She was promised promotions, all this sort of stuff. And she was phoning me like every lunchtime, like in tears because of things that were happening. And one day she came home and I was like, I just, you know, we were in a good position back then. Business was doing amazing. And I was like, I wrote her letter of resignation for her. And she came home and I was like, tomorrow, if you believe in yourself and me, go and give that to your boss. And she was like, what is it? She opened it and she was so scared. And I was like, believe me, you can be better than you are now. Let's do it. Take a risk. And she did. She quit her job the next day. And she had to work the notice. And then we had no idea what we were going to do. Like, literally, it was not discussed. That was literally it. You know, I'm not shortening that down. That was it. Quit your job. We'll figure something out. It'll be good. And then so that just started this whole journey where it was like, what do you enjoy? You know, is there anything you want to do? And she was like, well, I've always enjoyed makeup. I went to, you know, I did beauty therapy when I was in college. And I was like, okay, well, let's try something like that. And, you know, I had my business was really busy at that point. So I didn't actually help her. And I think a lot of people are quite surprised by this part of the story. They think, oh, well, of course she succeeded because you've been this internet guy for ages. You helped her. I really didn't. I felt quite guilty at the time. I didn't have time to help. So I just left her to it. She had to figure everything out. And she was, you know, trying to sell lipstick on eBay. And she was trying all these different things before eventually we hit a really good product that we designed, which was a makeup brush. And it just started taking off. You know, we went from, she didn't make more than $500 in the first 2.5 years, like 2.5 years total, like less than $500. And then it just started, like, we hit the right products and we were helping the right audience. We realized who we wanted to actually help, you know, because we went through loads of mistakes, like trying to sell products to every woman that wears makeup. And then we started to realize, like, no, there is a certain type of customer we want to really help. And we found that and discovered that. And it was literally like turning a switch that day after like 2 to 3 years of just nothing happening. And she was this close to giving up and going back to a day job. Like, it was already being spoke about. It was that close. And then we just, everything just changed. And we went from, you know, I'll never forget, like a couple of years ago, we would sit in our garage, or my wife primarily, and she would be putting the brushes into envelopes and packets. And then she'd be carrying like a little case of them to the post office here. And then eventually, like within a few months, she was carrying out one sack of makeup brushes. And then it was like 2 sacks. And then she had to have her mum start coming to our house 3 times a week to help her because she couldn't package them up all up in time. And now we've got like a warehouse that does all of that for us. And we get like hundreds of customers a day now. It's just been a whirlwind experience. And now I'm like, okay, I want to get involved. This is fun. So I've had more of an active role for the last 2 years, like managing the advertising and all that side of things. And yeah, it's just a very exciting thing because it's nothing like anything I've done before. I don't understand our customers in that business. I certainly don't connect with the products. I watch my wife. She deals with all that. But I get to just now, like, it's helped me find some of the things that I enjoy because I think I've been the guru, the expert for the last 10 years where everyone's depending on, it's felt like everyone's depending on me. Like, wow, I'm so responsible for my clients or their success. That's how I felt. And with this, it's like, I don't have to exist. Like I'm totally behind the scenes, and it's been a very different experience. So I think, you know, you questioned earlier about like, having two businesses. I think I maybe get something from them both. I think maybe that's why I do it. I get to do marketing in a business that I just can only focus on marketing and ads and sales and conversions and those things that I enjoy. And then I get to come back over here as like the expert guy that teaches and shares some of the things that I'm learning. And so I get this like this fulfillment from both. It's like, wow, I'm teaching, and that's nice because it's lovely. There is a you know, like there is a warmth and a great feeling and some purpose behind teaching somebody something, helping them, and seeing something magical happen for them. There's some great fulfillment in that. But equally, there is some great fulfillment without having to be responsible for anyone other than one thing that I have to do as like a job, you know, and this thing I really love doing anyway. So I'm like, I get to be behind the scenes doing something I love here. And then I get to come to the forefront in my little industry over here and show you some of the stuff I've learned and help make a difference to you. And what a magical situation that really is, you know, not to pat myself, but like, what a great situation that really is.
Well, what if it was okay to pat yourself on the back?
Well, maybe, yeah, maybe. There we go. We'll do it.
You're amazing. You're amazing. You both are. And that story is so great for so many people because, look, there are lots of people listening here. They're like, oh, I'm so done. I'm about to give up. And, you know, a lot of the time, and this is what I teach people a lot of the time, that they're expecting $1 million per month, you know, within a very short space of time because they sold that within the market, right? A lot of people are sold. It's easy. It's simple. Don't hustle. Just, you know, just turn on some ads to a funnel and you'll be fine. Look, the reality at the other side of that is that we've got skill development. There's customer development. There's knowledge around just the message that's going to connect. So what the missing piece there was really, what is the product that a person needs? And how do we message that in such a way that connects and then converts? And it's actually quite simple, but the pathway to get to that doesn't feel simple because there are obstacles. And what I've and I'd love your take on this too. A lot of the time people go, oh, I'm failing. What if you're failing forward? What if you're actually succeeding at knowing what doesn't convert so you know what will convert? And now, like, would you change anything? Would you change those last years of
No, they were my best lessons. Like those things will, like selling lots of products makes you money and that side. Like, but if you were to ask me like some of the best lessons I've ever learned, it's from those times. Like, because now I can tell you like, oh, I know why we didn't make any money for 2 years. Like, now that's a great lesson. Like telling you how to increase your conversions a little bit. Okay, that's cool. That's fun. But like telling you how to save, you know, if I was to help somebody do what we just did, they could do it in 1 year rather than five. And that's the big, most valuable lesson of all. And I would never have that understanding or lesson had I not got it wrong and failed in air quotes as such.
Yeah. Dude, thank you so much. This has been amazing. I would love the opportunity to ask you some silly questions right now to finish off this podcast. How does that sound?
Fun. Let's do it.
Okay, good. Okay. So I'm going to ask you some crazy questions here. What was the last thing that you bought and why?
Last thing that I bought? Oh, literally the last thing I bought was my lunch because I was hungry.
Well, that's fair enough. And what are your top three favorite movies?
Ooh. Oh, you see, I don't know if you'll see, for those watching on the screen, I've got like a signed Al Pacino Scarface picture behind me with a clip from the Scarface movie. So I'm into the like the gangster badass type movies. So Scarface, Casino would be one. And I'm going to throw a curveball in and say Dirty Dancing.
Oh, ooh la la. Hello, maybe that is your date night movie for this week.
There we go. Indeed.
That could be spicy. And who has most positively impacted your life?
Ooh, that's a tough one. My mom. Mm.
I knew it was going to be your mom.
Yeah. I think carefully about that because of recent experiences, but I can't credit someone for bad stuff and not credit the good, despite how painful things have been.
There you go, mister. That's amazing. That's extreme courage and some massive healing for you to be able to say that. What's your favorite subject to talk about?
Food.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, your last meal on earth, what would that be? That's actually one of the questions. What's your last meal request?
Ooh, it would actually have to be Indian food. I love Indian food, spice, flavors. Indian food wins for me.
Wow. And apparently England has some of the best Indian food ever. Joseph Clough went back to England not long ago and from America, and all he wanted was Indian food, Indian food, Indian food, Indian food, and Indian food, which was really kind of cool to see. What's your favorite concert that you have ever attended?
Ooh, favorite concert. I've been to a few concerts over the years. I went to a Drake concert once that was really good. Mm-hmm. Like, that was really good. Nice. I'm going on the right path when you say concert, right? Like music and things. Uh-huh, yeah. Uh-huh. So I've always been into like rap and hip hop from a young age. A lot of people are surprised when I say that. They don't imagine me as like the gangster rap hip hop guy. But I used to go to concerts a lot, but it would have to be all around that, you know, like Snoop Dogg. I went to a great Snoop Dogg concert once. That was pretty cool.
Dude, you're amazing. Does the Mini have an amazing sound system? I can imagine you cruising around with the Mini go
the doors rattling and everything shakes.
That's so amazing. Okay, last couple of questions here. What's the best place that you've ever traveled in the world?
Ooh, I've always been a fan of like various places in the Caribbean. Ooh. I think it's pretty hard to beat that part of the world.
Wow.
I tell you, I went to a really nice little tiny island. There's literally nothing to do there. It's called Cape Verde. It's like on the west coast of Africa. I went there for my honeymoon a few years ago, and it's like literally like a tiny island. There's nothing to do practically. But like that's the benefit of being there. You know, like I've always said now, like, cause it takes like 5 or 6 hours to fly there. So it's not too far really. But it's like the Caribbean. It's like hot and warm all year round. And it's just pure bliss. You know, like the vibe of the island, like everyone's walking around, that whole slogan of the island is no stress. So it's like they're just like walking around saying like, no stress, no stress.
Aww.
And I'm like, oh, anytime I need to just relax, I am coming here. I would say Cape Verde. Yeah.
I love that. Final question. You've got $1 million. It's in your hands. You have to give it away. You just have to give it away. Who do you give it away to and why?
Well, good question. It would have to be, well, it wouldn't be like an individual person. There's a couple of passions that I/we have. I'm a big, like, pet person, like dogs and things. I would shed a tear over watching an animal in pain over a person. I don't know if that's cold or what, but I don't get emotional over, like, I can watch some pretty horrific TV shows or documentaries with people and bad things happening, and my wife will be like, how are you not emotional about this? But like, you put a puppy or something that's like been abused, and I'm like heartbroken. So something like that. Also, there's something else at the moment that's kind of on our radar that we're heavily thinking about. Maybe it's because of the stuff we do and the people, that customer base with our cosmetic side. I've become a lot more aware of women, especially in like abusive situations, and that are kind of having to run away from those situations and ending up homeless, and realizing like, wow, there's a whole thing in the world and in this country that's going on that I'm completely oblivious to. I think it's, you know, because like you say, we get a lot of female customers in our cosmetics business. And so we've, you know, become a lot more aware of things like that. So I would like to make a positive difference in that area as well, if we could, you know. So housing and helping people get on their feet that have had everything taken away from them through no fault of their own, things like that. That's quite a passion of mine.
Oh, beautiful soul, beautiful man. Thank you so much. Look, dude, This has been an absolute pleasure. Just thank you for bearing your soul, for being honest. Is there any final thing that you'd love to say to the person listening or watching this right now that can help them have a more peaceful journey towards the millions, a more happy journey towards building a business and a life?
Yeah, I think, I suppose we're kind of, this has been a tone and a theme and things we spoke about over the last hour anyway, but I honestly just want everyone to realize, you know, I've realized this, you know, once you, I don't know if you feel this, like once you've realized you can make money for yourself, you realize that you can make money for yourself. And that brings with it a lot of freedom slash power in a way, in the sense of like, you can do anything you want to do. Like you can accomplish and do anything you want. You know, there was a time I didn't believe that. Now I believe it. And I believe it with every ounce of my soul. And with that knowledge, with that clarity and understanding comes a lot of responsibility, in the sense of make sure you're actually doing what you want to do. You know, and so my knowing that everybody listening to this, whether you're struggling or, you know, because you're not yet even started, or whether you're struggling because you are started and doing very well and things aren't where you want them to be or where you wanted to end up, like we've already spoke about, take the time to stop and invest as much time and energy as necessary to recognize and acknowledge what is it you actually want. Because I truly believe that most people are going to realize, if they put the energy into it, that what you actually want, you don't need to build something as big as you might think you need to build. You probably don't need to make as much as you think you need to make. But put the energy into figuring that piece out first, because it's so easy to, especially once you're up and running, so easy to now get so intertwined with the whole growing and making money that you can lose sight of that. And I truly believe I'm happier today with less money coming into my bank than when I had more money coming in. Not that I'm not striving to grow. I am, absolutely. But I'm going to do so safe in the knowledge that I'm now living the life. I'm moving my life towards where I want it to be. Before it was like, am I moving my turnover figures to where I want them to be? Now it's, is my life moving towards where I want it to be? Whatever money is money. That doesn't matter. It's nothing. Before it was everything. And that would just be like my biggest piece of advice. Start with, what does life look like if I could do anything I want? Because you can. So think about that first. Then go and create what is needed to live that life. Don't do it the other way around, because you will end up, it will go wrong.
Oh, my dear Lord. I love this. My dear friend, how do people find out more about the incredible, the amazing Dean Holland? Where do people find you?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I'm the worst marketer type person out. I'm literally like, you probably won't find me unless you see my ads. I mean, I have my deanholland.com. I don't remember the last time I looked at it. It probably has something from 10 years ago on it. So I, you know, by all means, if anyone wants to follow me, I mean, I've just started trying to force myself to be a bit more active, because I'm like, one of my team members said, you know how bad it is that we have no presence anywhere. You spoke about Instagram earlier. I'm like, I've never yet in my life made one post on Instagram. I've done stuff on Facebook. I haven't got a presence anywhere else. I literally don't exist. But probably Facebook then. And if anyone wants to connect, just find me on Facebook. Funny enough, this isn't just a topic of discussion that I've had with you today. If you were to go and read the post that I made about 4 or 5 hours ago, you will see I'm talking about, the whole theme of it is, I say, lower your targets. And you'll see if anyone looks at it. So yeah, probably, you know, deanholland.com maybe has links to my Facebook and stuff. So that might be a good place, I guess.
I love how carefree you are. Like, I don't even know. And sometimes you need a social media presence in order to live the life that you actually want. That's one thing that I'll finish off with just there. So dude, thank you so very much. I've so enjoyed our time together today. Thank you. It has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today.
That's a wrap, folks. Liz and the Kapow team hope you've loved this episode of the Happy Million Show. Please help us to spread this mission far and wide by leaving us a 5-star review with an amazing comment, and be sure to subscribe so you're notified with future episodes. We've got some incredible guests lined up for you to hear from to help you build both a business and a life you absolutely love. full of fun, freedom, family time, friends, fulfillment, fitness, and other ifs. You can fill in the blank. Subscribe now, and for your daily cup of kapower, head over to lizbenny.com. Come on, you know you want to.